Welcome to the Cowie Baptist Church podcast. To learn more about Cowie, including our gathering times, visit us online at cowie.church. Enjoy the message.
Amen, amen. Good morning, and so grateful that you are here. Worship team did an incredible job this morning just leading us and just reminding us that it is in Christ alone that we stand. It's going to be a beautiful kind of just intro into where we're going today. And in light of just last week, before we jump into the word, just want to say thank you all for the way that you serve, for all the blessings of last weekend from our kids and just their presentation and just time of leading us through Shout Hosanna on Friday night, and then a time serving our community at the Cowie School on Saturday. All the way into just our multiple opportunities on Sunday as we celebrated the resurrection, and we continue to do that every day. We understand that that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a victory that we walk in, that we live out in our lives every single day. The resurrected Christ didn't call us to celebrate and then just kind of shrink back into those moments, but he sent his disciples and us out on mission. He called us united in Christ, risen with Christ, to walk in newness of life, to go and declare the good news of the gospel, to be sent out, to share his love every day, everywhere we go. And as Kelly shared earlier, Love in Action, just a great opportunity that we can do that together. So we encourage you to find a place to plug in there and go out and serve. If you will, this morning, we're going to be in Colossians chapter number 2. We're going to pause for just a short period in our walk through Exodus, and we're really just going to lean in and think about what it looks like to be raised to walk by faith this morning. And we're going to look at what it looks like to walk in hope and walk in love in these next couple of weeks. But as we think about all that has been accomplished through the gospel, because Jesus is alive, right? Everything changes, not just your eternity, but your every single day. And as you walk in this newness of life, those of you that may have been walking on this journey for a while, you understand that that coming to faith in Christ, surrendering your life to Christ, that's the starting point. That's not the finish line. That's not where it ends, right? That we continue to walk in Christ. And what you've also understood is that walk is not always easy, that there's a real battle that's raging. There's an enemy. There's our adversary. Peter would say it this way, that your adversary, the devil, roams about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. John would say that the thief comes only but to steal, kill, and to destroy. And so we understand there's a battle that's raging. There's a real and present battle. There's an adversary, and we must remain alert. That's what we're going to see in Colossians chapter 2 today. I was reminded when my daughter was very small. She was maybe just a couple years old, and we had gone to Disney. We had a lady in our family that had a place there that we could stay in and go. And so Sonia was who had that, and she was with us on that trip. And Sonia, she didn't like riding the rides, but she enjoyed being with family. And so she told Sherry and I, she said, "Listen, I don't want to ride the rides. You guys go and enjoy, and I'll take care of Hope." And Hope was just sacked out in her little stroller. And so I'm excited about that. We go. And as we're coming back from the ride, I come around the corner, and as I'm looking, Sonia is in this moment, and she is talking away, and she is just with some other little ladies that are in the same kind of boat. Maybe they're just not big fans of the ride or whatever, and they're just talking, and they're going, and Hope's right here. And so as I'm looking, I just kind of slip up, and I just ease over really quietly, and I get a hold of little Hope's stroller, and I just kind of back out slowly, and I kind of go over here somewhere, and I've got the stroller, and I'm just kind of watching Sonia, and I'm just wondering, how long will it take for her to notice that I've got Hope? And when she looked over and recognized that Hope was gone, I want to tell you, I wish I'd videoed it. I wish I'd had it, but I didn't. But when she saw Hope was gone, I'm talking about full on panic. Like she was in, I mean, she was freaking out in that moment. And I didn't allow that to go on long until I came back into the picture with Hope and let her know everything was okay. And she had just gotten over almost a heart attack. And she was really, I mean, she was really not happy with me in that moment. And it was kind of two part. One, I was a little mischievous, but then the other part was that like, we're in a really busy place, right? And I wanted to like watch Hope and keep an eye on her and all that. But here's what you can know, like for the rest of the day, for the rest of that trip, like we could be assured. Like she, if we went and rode a ride, this was her the whole time. Like she is looking. Like there is no way she's taking her eyes off. She was alert. She was vigilant in those moments, right? And so we kind of see that kind of picture. And as we are reminded in Colossians 2, verse 8, we're going to see this, that he's going to say this to that church at Colossae. He's going to say, see that no one takes you captive. And that's the heart of kind of the beginning this morning. And if we're going to walk in faith, we're going to have to stay alert. We're going to have to be in that kind of place. And here's the reality. The Christian life begins as we receive Christ, believing and trusting in Jesus, turning from us our sin, repenting and believing the gospel. But it doesn't just stop there, right? The gospel is not just the way in. The gospel is the way on, right? The gospel is like we don't, the gospel is not the diving board. I've heard people say like the gospel is not the diving board. It's the pool. Like it continues the depth and the riches of the grace of God. And so we don't move beyond Christ, but we grow deeper in understanding his great love and understanding who he is. And as we read the scripture this morning, we're going to see that in Colossians chapter 2. Paul's wanting them to understand the depth and the riches of the love of God, of what's been accomplished for them in Christ. And when he writes this letter, this church at Colossae, they're facing pressures of false teachers. There are those that wanted to add mystical rituals or this secret knowledge to the gospel. And the heart of these false teachers was to sway them that they might believe that it took Jesus plus something else for them to be complete. That it took Jesus and something else. And Paul writes to them and to us in these moments, and he says this, Jesus is enough. Jesus is enough. And if you will, we're going to begin reading in Colossians chapter 2. We're going to read verse 6 all the way to verse 14. And I'd love for you, if you're able, to stand with me in honor of the reading of God's holy and infallible, inerrant word. And as we read, I just want to remind you, we are complete in him. We are rooted in him. And I hope that we will walk out of here today free in him. Because there's a battle. Just like the battle was for these believers at Colossae, there's a battle that's raging for the hearts and minds of every person in this room, of the next generation, of our children, of our families. And Christ, Jesus is enough. Beginning in verse 6, we read this. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. See it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For in him, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you have been made complete. And he is the head over all rule and authority. And in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. And altogether, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Holy God, Lord, I pray you'd let us get a glimpse of what was accomplished God, what was accomplished through your gospel, through the work of Calvary, God. Lord, I pray that you could remind us this morning of who Jesus is. God, remind us of who you are. Lord, and help us see who we are in light of who he is. Father, and we pray, God, if someone's here this morning, they've never trusted you, never surrendered their life to you, God, we pray that today would be the day of salvation. God, and for every believer in this room, God, we pray that we would walk out, God, in freedom. God, freedom that has been provided through the cross, reminded, God, of what you've done in our place, Lord. And we pray, God, all these things in the strong and the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. And we'll give you kind of just a core statement. If you're following along in the church app, if you're following along there, you'll see a couple of fill in the blanks in this first statement. And this is just kind of a summary of what we see in this passage. And here it is: because we have been raised with Christ. Did you notice how many times it said with Christ, in Christ, that we've been united in Christ, right? We've been buried with him and raised to walk in newness of life. We see this picture of who we are in Christ. He said, because we have been raised with Christ, we must walk by faith, rooted in truth, resting in Christ and resisting deception. That's what Paul's calling the church at Colossae to. That's what we're going to be called to as we walk together today. And point number one, as we look deeper at the text, I want you to see this call that we would walk firm in Christ, that we would walk firm in Christ. You know, I loved when we were singing this morning, here in the power of Christ, I'll stand. Listen, we stand firm in what has been accomplished in Christ. We walk firm in Christ. Verse 6, he says, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. He says, if you received him, walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. I just want to make one thing to point out. If we were walking through this entire letter, this would be a hinge point, right? Up to this point in the letter, we have been seeing all about who Jesus is, right? Everything has been about, this is who Jesus is. He is the incomparable Christ. He is the supreme. He is the self-sustaining sustainer. He has created all things. He has made them for his glory. All things have been created for him. They've been created by him. He is in need of nothing, but everything is in need of him. And that he is the great and one true God. And then we would say, this is who Jesus is. And then we would get to this point and he'd say, therefore, this is how you live. This is how you walk. This is who you are because of who he is. And so we understand, right, the Christian life, it begins by receiving Christ Jesus as Lord. He says, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus. Now, if you think about a picture of a tree, he says they're rooted, right? He says you're rooted in the gospel. You'll see a picture of a tree there on the screen. He says, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him, like a tree whose roots run deep. You see the kind of the breadth of this tree, what you see on the outside. It's important, like what's the foundation? What is the place of rooted, the place of being the invisible, right, thing that's holding everything together. He says you are rooted in Christ. And then he gives this picture of being built up, this picture of growing in Christ, built up like a structure being just raised on a firm foundation. He says established in your faith, established in your faith, anchored in your faith, rooted in Christ. And this whole text, it implies this progression of growth in the life of a Jesus follower. So we receive Christ, and then we grow in Christ. We continue to grow in the gospel. And the deeper that we go in Christ, the deeper the roots are, the understanding of the greatness of our God, the understanding of who Jesus is, the more grateful that you and I become. That's a measure that you can look at of your maturity and of your growing in Christ, because growth in the gospel produces gratitude. The more we see who Jesus is and who we are apart from him, what he has accomplished in our place, the more grateful that we become. It doesn't produce arrogance. It doesn't produce pride. It produces humility. It produces extreme gratitude. We would read in Paul's letter in 1 Corinthians 3, he would say, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. All glory to him. God caused the growth. God did the work. And Paul says, this is how you grow. This is how you walk. You are to walk in him. You've been raised with Christ. Now walk in him, rooted in the truth, rooted in the word of God, alert, aware, grateful. Verse 8, He says there's an enemy. There's a work that's trying to pull you away. There's a work, parents, that is trying to, this world system, right? And there's an enemy that is trying to take captive a generation. He's trying to pull them away. And he says, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. See to it that no one takes you captive. It's literally like that great picture of me coming and taking away hope, right? But it was her dad, and I was doing it, and I had a little mischievousness in me and all those kind of things. But we got to understand, this is a picture of kidnapping, a picture of the spoils of war, right? Being taken away captive, dragged away, snatched away. And for the church at Colossae, he was talking about this empty philosophy, human tradition, these elementary principles of the world, and things that are swaying them away rather than according to Christ. And we don't know everything about all the heresy and all the false teaching and the superior knowledge and all the things that this church at Colossae was dealing with. But I want to remind you, every day, every single day, there are lies that are trying to take us captive. The enemy is at work. And the world that we live in would say that you can find peace and happiness apart from Jesus Christ. The world would say to believers in this room that you've placed your faith and trust in Christ, but it's not, that he's not enough, that you're going to need something else. And you look around and the world all around you is pursuing all these things. And the enemy is saying, listen, you can have Jesus, but you're going to need some other things. You're going to need to pursue other things if you're ever going to find satisfaction. There's lies that saying, hey, your identity is however you may feel in this moment. There's lies that would whisper, the church is not necessary. You don't need other believers in your life. And the scripture would say, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together to spur one another along. There's lies that would say, listen, everybody's doing whatever that is, right? Everybody's living in sin and doing these things, and it's no big deal. Lies that would say that there are many ways to heaven. Lies that would say, listen, stuff and status and other things, those are the things that will make you complete. Lies that twist the truth until wrong is called right, and right looks wrong. And people, listen, at the end of all that, the enemy would desire that you would question the goodness of God. The enemy would desire that you might wonder, could God really be trusted with my life? Could I really find my satisfaction and rest everything in him? And some of us, we hear those lies. Maybe some of you have begun to believe some of those things that yes, Jesus, I have Jesus, but I need other things. Somehow the things of this world are going to bring satisfaction, and the enemy is coming after a generation. And Paul says, don't be taken captive. And he says, Jesus is enough. Stay rooted. Stay rooted in the word. Stay rooted in the truth. Because listen, the Christian life is not just about the beginning, not just about this moment where we place our faith and trust in Jesus, but we begin to walk by faith. And so not only do we walk firm, we rest on the gospel and what Jesus has done, but we walk full in Christ. Look in verse 9 and 10. Paul writes this. He says, for in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. He speaks of the incarnation. He speaks of this, and this would have been in combating the Colossian heresy that was going on. And he is reminding them that Jesus, right, it was incarnate, that God in the flesh, he is the fullness of deity dwelling in bodily form. And in him you have been made complete. And he is the head and rule over all and rule and authority. Christ isn't just another religious figure. He is not just some other religious symbol out there, right? That he is fully God, the fullness of deity in bodily form. But here's the miracle, not only the incarnation, this miracle of that, but the greatest miracle, right, that I want you to see this morning is that you and I have been made complete in him. So let's need to hear this morning. You are not missing anything if you are in Christ. You don't need more achievement. You don't need more approval. Some of us think, okay, I'm in Christ, and now if I just do enough things, somehow I can earn God's approval. And you're like saying, okay, if I do all these things, somehow God will find, you know, satisfaction in who I am. Listen, you don't need more achievement, more approval, more success. He says you are. And look at the tense of this word in the Greek. It's interesting. He says, you are complete in Christ. And in the Greek, it is perfect tense. There's an action that has taken place in the past that has effect into this very present moment, right? The current state that we are in, complete in Christ, is a result of what Jesus did on the cross. And it has ongoing effect into this moment and into the future. You and I, if you are in Christ, you are whole before God. Don't be led astray by the lies of this world. Don't be carried off in that mess. You are complete in Jesus Christ. You are complete in Him. I hope you'll see that. Rooted in Him. Remember who you are in Him. See, Paul's letter, the rest of the book, right? This is who Jesus is. Now, the rest of the book going forward, this is who you are because of who He is. This is who you are. You are full in Christ. You've been made complete, positionally made right before God in these moments, right? And we need that daily reminder. Some of us probably ought to have it on our phone every day. We open it up and it just says, I'm complete in Christ. He is everything that I need. Firm in Him, standing on the truth of the gospel, full in Him, joy, satisfaction. And now this call, right, in light of what He has done, being raised with Him, we are to walk in freedom with Him. We experience freedom in Christ. Point number three, we walk free in Christ. We walk free in Christ. Look in verse 11 and 12. Paul says here, he says that in Christ, talking about the circumcision of the flesh, he says, in Christ, he said, this old sinful nature, this old sinful nature has been cut away, and you've been buried with Him and raised to walk in newness of life. That's a picture in baptism. We see this picture of death to the old life and resurrection to walk in newness of life. And because of that new life, because of what Christ has done, because you are now alive in Christ, you've been forgiven. Because of what Jesus has done, because you are now alive in Christ, you have been forgiven. Look at verse 13. It says this, when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He made you alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. We were spiritually dead, separated from God by our sins. Our sins created a debt that we could not pay, a debt that we could never repay. And what we understand in the gospel is that Jesus, that God sent His only begotten Son, entered into the midst of the brokenness of this world. He lived a sinless life, perfect, righteous, and holy. And He took the debt of your sin, took the debt of my sin. He took all that upon Himself, and Jesus paid that sin debt in full. I want you to hear that. Jesus paid that sin debt in full. You're not on a payment plan. You're not somehow saying, okay, I've trusted in Jesus, and now if I just do enough of this, and I do just enough of that. Listen, Jesus paid it in full. And here's what's accomplished in that. Because of the finished work of the cross, God, who is holy and who is perfectly just and is righteous, because of the work of the cross, God can declare sinners like you and I not guilty, right? He can compare us no longer guilty and at the same time remain just. See, sin requires punishment. God is holy. He must punish sin. And Jesus took the very wrath of God on the cross and He paid our sin debt. He paid it in full. Listen, the debt has been paid and God is holy and He is righteous. He can allow us to be made right. And the debt is still paid because Jesus took our place. Now, Paul speaks of this certificate of debt, right? This is some really cool stuff right here. This is a part I hope that will get in you and never, ever, ever get out of you. Paul speaks of a certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us in verse 14. In Paul's day, when someone was believed to have committed a crime, in this time, right, the charge or the accusation that was made against them would be written out. And it would be written out and given to a civil magistrate. It would be given to a magistrate or a judge. And this person that was accused of breaking the law if he was found guilty. And you can imagine them being found guilty and being placed in a prison cell, being placed in a place to serve time. And they would take that certificate of debt and they would hang that up above the cell. They would hang that certificate of debt and it would list those things that they had done. It would list the things that they had done wrong. You can see something and you can think about what might be written on your certificate of debt. And here that would be above that prison cell and that certificate of debt would be there. And it would tell everyone who would see that, this is what that person is serving time for. This is what that person must pay for. This is what that looks like, right? If they were crucified, if they were sentenced to death, that certificate of debt would be placed above them on the cross. And we would see Jesus, King of the Jews, would see this above him. But what the scripture would tell us, right, and what we're going to see, now when a person had paid that time, there was a just payment that they deserved. And so whatever that was, if it was 10 years of time or whatever that payment was, when that person who was guilty of that crime had served their time and had paid their debt, they would go back before that magistrate, they would go back before that judge, and he would either wipe that certificate of debt clean, he would either erase that or wipe that clean, or he would take and he would stamp on that certificate of debt to Telestai, and in that time, it would mean this, paid in full. And no longer, right? When somebody said, hey, weren't you, Chris? Weren't you the one that did all these things and just kind of listed out that? And they said, oh, yeah, it was. That's who I was. That's who I used to be. I did all those things. But I want you to know I've served my time. I've done everything that's been required of me for that debt to be clear. I've done all those things. And what I want you to see this morning is that Jesus, when he went to the cross, right, he didn't just cancel your sin. The scripture says he's taken it out of the way. It's another place where it's in perfect tense, right? There's an action that took place in the past and it has ongoing effects into the present. It has ongoing effects into this moment, right? And it says that when Jesus went to that cross, that he took the certificate of debt that had all of my sin and all of my shame and all of your sin and all of your shame and everything that you deserve to pay for. And Jesus took that and nailed it to the cross, right? And listen, before Jesus died on that cross, he would cry out from that cross, he'd say, Tetelestai, paid in full. Your sin forgiven. Your debt paid. Your shame covered. Your guilt erased. This is what Jesus has accomplished. It is finished. Paid in full. And here's the tragedy. Here's the tragedy. There are believers that continue to hear the lie of the enemy, the lie of the enemy that says, listen, you are not enough. Some of you have been set free. Some of you have been saved by the grace of God, and you're still living like you're in a prison cell. You're still living like you're trying to pay for the time that you owe there. You're living in bondage to the slingery. You're hearing the lies of the enemy that says you'll never be enough. Jason, you're not able to do this. You still mess up. You're still not good enough. Listen, but because of what Christ has done, the scripture says you were dead, you were enslaved, but now you've been made alive. And because of what Christ has done, you've been raised to live a holy life by faith, believing that what God says about you is true, that the punishment has been paid. And when the enemy comes your way, listen, I printed out some certificates of death this morning. And this debt that we owed, right, this debt that we could not pay, the only thing, the wages of sin is death, but Jesus paid it. And the certificate of debt that was on you, the certificate that you owed, if you've placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, listen, it is paid in full. And when the enemy comes and the enemy whispers, you're dirty and you're broken, and listen, you'll never change. When he calls you by your sin and your shame and your past, I hope you'll go back to that certificate of debt. Some of you might need one of these just to put on a mirror somewhere, and you just be reminded of what Jesus has done in your place. To tell us that it's paid in full. Whatever the list of those accusations, whatever the enemy, the old accuser, right? Whatever he would whisper, whatever he would do. Listen, you don't argue, you don't negotiate. He said, didn't you do all those things? And you just hold it up and say, listen, it's been paid in full. The shed blood of Jesus Christ, right, has taken away my sin. And he's separated. Listen, this he has worked in my life, in my place. Jesus has paid it all. It is finished. And you can rest in Jesus Christ. And because of Jesus, you stand on a firm foundation. The gospel is a firm foundation. You stand and you live a full life, experiencing the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ, and you can walk in freedom, not just someday, but right now. Firm, full, free. Listen, some of you in this room, you know that you've placed your faith and trust in Jesus. You've been set free. But maybe when I said, you know what, some of you are living like a prisoner, maybe that just stood out to you. And I just want to encourage you, today's the day to walk out of that cell, to not allow the enemy. I didn't get to this in any of the other services, but it's too good. It's too good to miss. They all laugh. Yeah, the extended version you guys get, it's almost done. But listen, in verse 15, the scripture says, when he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. I want you to understand, Satan does not have a gun. And some of you are being held captive by an enemy that all can do is spout and lie and tell all these things about you. But you need to recognize what Jesus has done in your place and no longer allow the enemy to bind you. Jesus wants to use you. You are not damaged goods anymore. You have been purchased by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you to walk in freedom today. I've laid certificates of debt along this stage, and some of you may want to turn that into a place, to an altar, a place where you might kneel and just be reminded of what Jesus has done for you, to thank him and to take up a certificate of debt, just to be reminded that listen, it has been paid in full. I'm going to pray for us. The worship team's going to come, and we're going to worship.